Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's week 13. What week is it? Week 13. Yeah, we're getting ready for week 13.
Remember, love our football in Cleveland.
All guests appear in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We got three of them here, and we start with Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as they get ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday afternoon at 4:25. Bob Haney, Daniel Jones, a real possibility to land in Baltimore?
Well, it's been rather quiet on that front locally anyway, but I know it's been some national buzz that the Ravens are one of the teams interested in him. Ravens are back at practice today, so this will be the first time we hear from John Harbaugh. Not that he would answer the question since Monday night, but, I mean, if there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, let's be honest, when every team loses their starting quarterback, you're kind of hosed anyway. Daniel Jones wouldn't inspire much confidence. So I think
that no confidence.
Yeah, personally, I'm right there with you on that one, but we'll see. We'll see.
Bob, what did you think of Harbaugh versus Harbaugh?
Oh, the Harbowl. I thought the Chargers were going to kind of put a foot up their rear ends early, but Ravens defense, which has played acceptably the last couple of weeks because they've been horrible for most of this season, they kind of stepped up a little bit. Ravens offense, maybe not generating tons of points, made big plays when they needed to make them. The narrative around in Baltimore was like, yeah, we get it, but, you know, it's all about wins. It's November. We don't care about family and sibling rivalries. We're just looking for W's here, and I'm sure they probably felt the same way in L.A. But as far as a big storyline, unless it's a playoff game, I don't think anybody really cares.
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. That fourth down, would you have gone for that at like 6-6, or was it just like, hey, you know what? We got a good record. Let's see where it goes here.
Well, I think Harbaugh has been known to make these aggressive decisions, maybe not on his own 16. Mm. Remember last year in the AFC Championship game? First quarter, they went for it on fourth and short inside. I think it was actually like fourth and five in their own territory, wound up scoring their only touchdown of the game. I think it may have been more of a question or an issue where, hey, our offensive line, we've got Derrick Henry, we've got all of this beef, we can move them, let's make it happen. They were down 10 zip. It was a momentum changer for sure when it all turned out. But, Harbaugh's been known to do some crazy things. If it fails, he would have been crucified on a Tuesday morning.
Sour grapes from Khalil Mack after that game on Monday night, saying that he didn't think it was very hard facing Derrick Henry?
Well, he got into 140 yards. So if that's easy, I'd like to, you know what I mean? I'd like to see what their response would be in a rematch. Sour grapes, absolutely. Guy getting 140 yards, and it wasn't even one of his better games. He had a touchdown taken away because the Ravens, as you all know, they like to commit penalties, especially on offense.
So what did you think of how the secondary did against Justin Herbert, knowing that there were two pretty big drops as well?
Drops were key in that game, but you'll take your victory lap, your attaboy, if you will, when you can, because when you have the 32nd ranked pass defense, you've already cut Eddie Jackson. Marcus Williams has been benched. He played one snap on Monday night. You'll take what you can get. Nate Wiggins is starting to get, you know, a little more comfortable at this level, their first-round pick out of Clemson. Kyle Hamilton's starting to play like the Pro Bowler that he was last year. So things are, not saying coming into focus for them because they got a tough matchup with Philly on Sunday, but it's better than it was, say, 3 weeks ago when Burrow was shredding them up and down the field.
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore as the Ravens get set to take. It's birds versus birds as they get set to take on the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday at 4:25. We now head to the Queen City in Cincinnati and Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Mo, are they still in season saving mode at 4-7 as you get ready to host the Pittsburgh Steelers at 1 o'clock?
Yeah, if you squint, you can talk yourself into it, I guess, right? I mean, if they get this one, the schedule does ease up, you know, after the game on Sunday. And they are favored against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, you know, as everybody's sort of repeating here, right, you get this one on Sunday, then they'll go to Dallas on Monday Night Football. That's obviously very, very winnable. Then you get the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. That's obviously very, very winnable. And then, you know, in a game that has obviously been flexed, they'll be favored at home against the Cleveland Browns. And so you can do that, but the math is really hard. They have to leapfrog three teams. Miami is surging. Denver looks really good. The Bengals do get a head-to-head game against them. And, you know, from a pure football perspective, this team just hasn't played well enough, especially on defense all season long, to really bank on them making a run no matter who's on the schedule.
Did the Browns expose anything, do you think, to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers or no?
You
can be honest.
I think the Browns and the Ravens and the snow were able to sort of reveal some of the issues they have offensively. Look, they didn't score a touchdown against a bad Baltimore defense and then followed that up with a lackluster, easy for me to say, performance offensively against the Cleveland Browns. And I think all of us have known all season long that was a limited Pittsburgh team offensively. I do think that Cleveland and Baltimore combined to exploit those things.
This is Joe Burrow's fifth year in the NFL. Where do you rank this season as far as Joe Burrow's best years?
Well, statistically, it's his best. You know, he was an MVP finalist in 2022. Statistically, he's been better this year than he was that season. He has been awesome. He has been unbelievable in the games they've lost. 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, averaging well over 300 yards per game. And that makes it the worst season the Bengals have had since he's arrived because they've wasted greatness. They have three players who are having award-caliber seasons: Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, and on the defensive side, Trey Hendrickson, and yet they're 4-7. So that's an organizational failure. Joe's having his best season. Bengals are having their worst.
Do you ever get owner fatigue? like when people call in, like, listen, like, there's so many people goes, this problem starts with the owner. I'm like, and then they get mad at us because we're like, guys, they can't fire themselves. Like, there's only so much we can do. There's only so much we can say. And then they go, no, you can. Like, we had a guy call in one time and he started yelling at us, Mo, about, like, well, Pete Franklin, who's one of the fathers of sports talk radio. And I'm like, Pete Franklin didn't get Ted Stepien to sell the Cavs. Like, that never happened. Like, and I'm sure Pete Franklin made a big deal about it. And I've studied the history, but, like, Ted Stepien was like, you know what? This radio show host is for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I don't think that I could get any owner to sell their organization just by shouting about them for 4 hours on the radio. If I had that much power, I'd be doing other things.
It's the default position that people take at the first sign of any problem. The illustration that I give people is in 2013, you know, the Bengals won 11-5. They had a terrific team, won every game at home, but they laid an egg in the postseason, lost their first game, were beaten by the Chargers. I was doing the post-game call-in show at the time, and I look at my call screen, and everybody wanted to talk about Mike Brown. Nobody mentioned his role in the 11-5. Nobody mentioned his role in, you know, the team putting together a terrific year, but because they lost to the Chargers and because Andy Dalton turned the ball over a bunch of times and because Giovanni Bernard fumbled and because they gave up over 200 yards rushing, suddenly it was time to call Mike Brown. I had a caller last week, and I'm not mentioning this to have a political discussion.
That's fine.
But you know that the vice president-elect is from Cincinnati, as is that Vivek Ramaswamy guy. And I had a guy call the show last week and suggest that those two join forces to buy the Bengals.
Oh, I love calls
like
this.
Say what you want about those two. Gentlemen politically. My counter is always you can't buy something that's not for sale. And that, to me, seems to be the point that no one seems to ever want to grasp. Uh-huh. This is a family business. The Bengals are not involved in any other businesses. The ownership isn't involved in any other business besides football. That team is not going to be sold in my lifetime.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because I read the thing about Steve Young. It starts at the top. I'm like, you join the line. Like, yeah, we get it. But Mike Brown's an 89-year-old man. He ain't selling. He ain't changing his ways. Mo, thank you very much for the time, my friend, and in the perspective there. We go from Mo Egger to the other side of this game coming up on Sunday. Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, as they get ready to take on the Cincinnati Bengals. And what, Mike Tomlin wants to open up an investigation on Greg Newsome. He said he drug George Pickens out of the end zone on that final play. Sour grapes.
Yeah, sour grapes, and he loves making excuses for Pickens. We went back and watched the tape of that because Tomlin said, like, he got straight up asked, what was Pickens' role in that play? And he said, he was the point man. Somebody goes, well, what's the... It was like one of those, in like a police squad movie since, Jim Abrams died yesterday. It would be like Leslie Nielsen doing a ridiculous back and forth, like where they've got to drag every syllable that they need out of him. What's a point man? He's supposed to high point the football. Was he in position to do that? And that was the money question. And he finally said, I think the other guys had to do with him not being where he was supposed to be. So I went back and watched it, Ken. He ran untouched down to about the 4.5, maybe the 4-yard line. And then Newsome did what I would consider a good job in running him off of his spot and physically like blocking him from being where he was supposed to be on that play. And then they ran basically past the end line. And then George Pickens made like it was the Georgia Tech game and went completely ham on him.
Wow.
And so I don't blame Newsome at all. He did his job. Like, what? I don't know what Mike Tomlin's talking about. And honestly, I'm thrown off right now. Not because there's dogs or a child in the background, but because Mo Egger said this is the only business the Brown family is involved in. If that's the case, you'd think they'd be a little bit better at it, Ken.
Well, hey, listen, I'm not going to sit there and pass along your words to Cincinnati before the game. If you want to take shots at him, put him on your show, even though he hosts, I think, at the same time. You would take shots. I'm not going to sit there.
Donnie put him on for like 25 minutes yesterday. He did like an extravaganza with Mo Egger.
He did what? Who did that?
Donnie was hosting, you know, Donnie football. I know,
God,
you know
Donnie,
who he is.
I love Donnie. I thought you meant, I thought you heard, I'm sorry, I thought you said Pony.
Hey, Chris.
No.
Yeah,
no, I will tell you, though, Anthony, before you say this, I will just say Donnie was, you know, he's on the rocket ship in our building up the ladder, and he was hosting middays for us yesterday instead of producing our show. And he had Mo Egger on, and I think he did like 22 or 23 minutes with Mo Egger. He got like all the way into the nitty-gritty details. They might have been talking about Duke Tobin for all I know.
All right, Donnie.
25 minutes.
Donnie and Mo. Way better than Ilkin and Barrasso.
You walk by him on their way in and go, hey, kid, great job, but you don't keep guests for 25 minutes.
I mean, the guy who he was filling in for keeps guests for 35 minutes, so he was actually doing a good job whittling his
down. Like, hey, man, if you had, like, the president or something on, or, like, you had, like, Jim Tressel could have went 25 minutes. That's Jim Tressel. Mo Egger, no offense to him, you ain't keeping a guy. Well, I'm getting way off base here. I'm sorry. Damn it.
So, Chris,
what
are
you
going to
ask me?
Yeah, I just can't believe he kept Mo Egger for 25 minutes.
T.J. Watt said anything since getting so thoroughly outplayed. It's crazy to see a game where he has zero impact, especially in that game where, you know, he's had some monster performances against the Cleveland Browns. Is he taking any accountability?
Tone, this is very serious. We haven't seen or heard from T.J. Watt since 60 minutes were left in the game Thursday night. He's gone missing, Tone. We've got everybody out there looking for him. They got him working in shifts down at the local precinct. And they took our Creedence tapes, too.
Oh, man.
The best is when they're messing with the ashtray and they find the bowling pin, the bowl. That's a nice touch.
They got to find some kid named Larry. They think he might know where TJ Watt is. No, I mean, he's... I'm glad you guys are enjoying this. It wasn't fun to watch him get completely stifled. Like, I actually thought he was going to eat going into that game because DeJuan Jones was out and all that stuff with you guys. And you know, they do like to occasionally move him around and put him. They'll put him on the left tackle, or they'll put him up the middle once in a while. They'll have him run like some sort of stunt blitz from that side, but. Typically, I think what the Steelers get in trouble with is they'll just plop him out there at his usual spot and just let him try to go to work. And that just I thought that was a failure of coaching and of the player there. The player's still got to do his job. He's making $28 million or whatever. But like, they really did not, in my opinion, do enough to try to change the look for the Browns to make it a little more difficult for them to locate where he was coming from and do everything like that. And I do think Cleveland does a good job with Garrett occasionally just changing the look and forcing somebody other than the left tackle and a chipper to block him.
3 years, 120 for Russell Wilson right now. Would you do it?
Is it all guaranteed? Is it one of those Kirk Cousins specials, or can I get like 2 years of it guaranteed?
2 years guaranteed.
If you put a gun to my head right now, I would say yes, because I don't know where else they're going. And he, you know what? He made two plays that I will concede hurt. He took 3 points off the board by taking that sack, although, again, that's Garrett doing a great job. And he put 3 points on the board, again, Garrett doing a great job by not having ball security. Other than those two plays, Mrs. Lincoln, he was phenomenal, I thought, in that game. He's the only reason that game got to the point where it was 19-18. So, yes, you put me in a very tough spot here, but I'll say yes.
You talk to Steelers fans every day. What would put a Steeler fan more in their shell? Not winning a playoff game in the wild card round again, or Miles Garrett winning a second consecutive Defensive Player of the Year?
I hope not winning a wild card game would put them more in their shell, because the one thing I've said with this whole Garrett Watts stuff is look at how the Steelers as an organization and like as a fan base, how we have fallen. If we are sitting here whining about individual awards and who deserves them, like honestly, I've rooted for this team, you know, whatever, 33 years since I've known what football was or whatever. I do not care if their guys win individual awards as long as they're winning playoff games. I would hope a wild card loss would bother them more.
Well, he seems to care. I mean, good God. I mean, he made it all about himself that day at the NFL Honors.
Well, let me tell you something right now. I ripped him for that because of not so much because like he needed to show Myles Garrett some sort of deference, but my God, the NFL tells you the Walter Payton Man of the Year is the award in the league,
Thank
and
you.
His teammate was going to win it, and it was the worst kept secret in the entire Thank league you. That Cam Hayward was finally winning that. Like, Susan Lucci at the Emmys for All My Children, and T.J. Watt made it about himself, took his ball, and made a big show of going home. Didn't like it then, don't like it now.
See, and that's a Pittsburgh radio show host, Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, saying that. Because I said it last week, and, oh, you're just a rube. You're a loudmouth. And I am. But truth's the truth. Made it about himself that day. Just a bad look for T.J. Watt. Anyway, we move on to the Denver Broncos.
So funny, I didn't know about any of this. I guess I wasn't paying attention last year.
How did you, you were too busy winning last year. Now we pay attention to these things a little bit more.
I did not know this was some huge storyline.
9 o'clock, Doug LaMaurice. We're paying attention to Ohio State and Michigan coming up on Saturday. Up next, you've given me a 1% chance to make the playoffs. So I think I'd rather just be happy. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.